The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody make it out on this burning hot. How many of you guys' AC is about to quit? We just had ours replaced and it's like screaming at us already. It's crazy. It's been hot. Anyway, we want to say welcome to you if you're visiting here this morning. My name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church, and we're delighted to have you with us this morning at one of our services. All right, so let's dive in. We started a series a few weeks ago called The Names of God. We're working our way through different significant names found in the Bible that were used when calling out to God. We look at a lot of names that Moses has been using. And today in Exodus chapter 17, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We're going to be in Exodus 17 today for our name of the day, which is Jehovah Nissi. Say that with me. Jehovah Nissi. It sounds like a new brand of Toyota car, doesn't it? Jehovah Nissi. Okay, anyway. Jehovah Nissi. What does Jehovah Nissi mean? Anyone know? It means the Lord is my banner. Okay, we're going to dive into what that means today. But before we do that, in preparation for this series, I was stumbling upon some interesting names, and I came up with this one Google search. It was like strange U.S. city names. Anybody hear from our strange U.S. city name? Anyone? Anyone? Nobody wants to admit it. Okay, here's a couple. So there was one that stuck out to me that was kind of interesting. It was from Texas. It was a city called Ding Dong. Anybody heard of Ding Dong, Texas? You show up and just say, ding dong, okay, and you're there. That's how they say welcome. Another one, and this was where I'm sure the very popular workout series, I can tell many of you use it, that workout series, Buns of Steel, it was filmed in Superior Bottom, West Virginia. That is a real city, okay? And I know some of you are destined to retire in one of my favorites, Tightwad, Missouri. And Mike, where's Mike Conley? He's going to run for mayor, okay? He's the chairman of our finance committee, so that's why I said that. Anyway, names can be random. They can be fun. They can be namesakes. You can name things or people or children after things that are your favorite. But when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to the names of God, there is something deep and rich and meaningful about the names of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 9, verse 10, and they will know your name and put their trust in you. And that is my heart's desire, is that you will come to know who God really is. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure about this whole church thing, you're not sure about what you even believe, but I want you to know that God knows your name, and He wants you to know His. Because He wants you to know who He is, how He formed you, how He shaped you, how He loved you, how He has purpose and plan and meaning for your life. And He wants you to know His name, the names of God. Today we're looking at the name Jehovah Nissi, and it comes from the story found in Exodus chapter 17. But before we get to Exodus chapter 17, we really need to have you kind of aware of what happens in Exodus 1 through 16. Are you ready for that? So I promise to stay under 3 hours, okay? just joking. We're going to give you the quick Reader's Digest version of Exodus. So how many of you heard of Moses? Yeah. So Moses was a interesting character, very important. To the story of the history of Christianity. And Moses wasn't that he was an all that kind of guy. He actually made a lot of mistakes. And like many characters in Scripture, it's never about who they are. It's about what God wants to do through them. And you might be sitting here this morning and say, you know, I'm the farthest thing from holy. I'm the farthest thing from a child of God. If you knew anything about me, you know what I'm saying? The further you think you are from God, the better candidate you are for God's love. God wants to choose to use you. And he's calling you by name today. My hope is that your heart will hear that. How many of you have ever felt like giving up, though? You've ever been in a situation where things were just a little too more difficult than you really wanted, and you just kind of wanted to walk away? You don't have to admit that you're a quitter, but how many of you would say at some point in your life you felt like kind of quitting, changing course, starting over, whatever you want to call it? You know, that happens with all of us. And today, my hope is that when we see that when life gets tough, when the road gets hard to travel, that we will see God in the midst of it. That we will see Him as our Jehovah Nissi, the one who inspires us, empowers us, and equips us to do what He calls us to do, to go where He calls us to go, and to empower us to slay the giants before us, if you will. And so my hope is that your heart is open to that. There are many times, though, when I know there's something God wants me to do, and I don't want to do it. There are times when I want to do something that I know that God doesn't want me to do, and yet I do it anyway. Paul said it like this in Romans 7. He said, the things that I know I understand that I should do, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. He's a pretty significant guy. And yet he said, I'm the chief of all sinners. There are things in my life that I know I shouldn't do. There are times that I feel like quitting, and I do. But we can look to him because he found, later, if you keep reading that verse, he says, where do I get hope? It's only found in Jesus Christ. And today we're going to see Moses in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a struggle, and the only thing he knows to look to is God. So let's dive in and see where this all comes from. So starting kind of in Exodus chapter 1, summarizing through 17, I'm going to give it to you real quick. But as always, I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, please go back and read the passages we refer to. God has a way of bringing His Word to life if you just spend time in it. Get into a habit, either a morning, during a lunch break, or at night. A lot of you have cell phones. You can even get the Bible app on your phone. It'll even speak to you. You can have it read to you while you're driving in the car. How many of you commute an hour a day? Hey, imagine listening to God's Word while you're driving. It might calm your nerves a little, okay? Who knows? But the key here is that get into it, because God wants His Word to get into you. In Exodus chapter 1, we see Moses. Okay, Moses is selected by God, elected by God. There's nothing really special about Moses. He had this kind of strange upbringing in Egypt. He was kicked out of Egypt for some poor choices he made. And while he's now out in the wilderness tending sheep as a shepherd, he stumbles upon this bush that's on fire, and God's voice speaks through this bush. And God basically calls out Moses and says, I'm choosing you. I'm sending you back to Egypt. My people have been in captivity far too long. They came down because of Joseph years ago. I blessed Joseph. His brothers sent him down there as a slave. But Joseph was faithful. I raised Joseph up. He became second in charge of all of Egypt. He was smart enough to know the visions and dreams I was sending. And he filled what do you call those things that hold food? Silos full of food, so that when the famine came, people would be able to eat. And so all these Israelites swept down to Egypt, and they begin to live there and be taken care of. And as they multiplied and grew, another Pharaoh came in charge and said, there's too many of them. But instead of wiping them out, why don't we put them to work? And they made them slaves. And so God said, Moses, I'm sending you to liberate my people, lead them out. And if it was modern day, we'd send in like special elite forces, right? The best of the best, trained and equipped with all the latest weapons, laser-guided missiles and sneak attack forces. And God says, here you go, I'm sending you, and here's a stick. Go get him. Thanks, I like that. A man who stutters and a stick. Moses said, what are you talking about? I'm slow of speech. You want me to speak for you? There's no way I can. They're not going to listen to me. And I don't even know your name. Remember that from like a month ago? He said, don't worry. Tell them I am has sent you. That was the first name of God that we learned about. And if you've missed any of these in the series, go back to our podcast. you can catch up there. There's beauty and power in each name of God. And so he said, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. And so God literally gave him the staff. It became kind of known as the staff of God. Moses took the staff before Pharaoh. And he's standing before Pharaoh and he's like, okay, God says, let his people go. And the Pharaoh's like, no, I don't think so. He's like, I'm telling you, if you don't listen to God, it's going to go bad for you. He's like, no, I don't care. Leave, old man. Take your stick and go. And he's like, I'm telling you, God sent me. And if you remember the story, he throws his stick down. And what happens to the stick? It becomes into a snake. That was like, wow, that was amazing. And then Pharaoh's like, that's nothing. He pulls forth somehow. I still don't, this is a question I have for God. God, how'd they get the power? Because they step up, these sorcerers of the Pharaoh, and they throw their sticks down and they become snakes. But you know what's cool? Is Moses' snake does what? Eats them. That's you're into Pokemon? That's like ultimate Pokemon right there. Snake, you know, anyway. I digress. So, how many of you are playing Pokemon? That's I'm ashamed of you. So anyway, actually I'm level 18 now. So, we'll keep going. Moses has this stick. He throws it out. The battle's going down. He takes his stick back, and the Pharaoh's like, "Well, there's something up to what with this guy." And Moses is like, "I'm telling you, there's power in the stick. Don't mess with God." And then the plagues come, and Moses and Pharaoh keep meeting, and Pharaoh's like, finally he breaks down and says, fine, you've caused chaos here, get out of here and take your people and go. So Moses rallies up the people, they're walking across the wilderness, and they come to a dead end. A raging river, mountains on each side, and now back in Egypt, soldiers and Egyptians have woken up and said, hey, where's our slaves? We're hungry, we want breakfast. And they take off after the Israelites. And so they're like, what's going on? You brought us out here just to have us die? It'd be better for us to be back in Egypt. And Moses is like, God, really? These people, they just grumble and complain? You want me to lead them? This is ridiculous. And God says, don't worry. Stretch out that staff I gave you over the waters. And he does. And if you know the story, the waters part, the Red Sea parts, the Israelites cross over. Moses turns around once all of them across, and he raises his stick, the waters close back up, and people are in awe. Who is this man? I don't know, but look at that stick, kind of like Yoda and his lightsaber, okay? It's amazing, the power in that guy, okay? So that's basically what started to happen is one season after another, Moses would show up, and the power of the stick would unfold, and people started to go, whoa, there he is again with that stick. And the stick kind of became like famous and legendary. It kind of became like a symbol for the country, kind of like a flag. Everybody would look to the stick. Wow, it's a powerful, powerful stick. And just when Israelites are thinking all is going fine, miracle after miracle, Moses showing up, waving his magic wand, you know, doing all this powerful stuff, miracles and craziness. Read it. There's a lot of awesome stuff there. People were beginning to forget, I think, where the power was really coming from. And oftentimes in life, we'll go through struggles, we'll go through trials, and we'll think, if I just work a little harder, maybe I'll get through. If I'll just change this and do this myself, maybe I'll get through. And a lot of times, instead of looking to God for answers, many times we insert our own opinions and ideas and our own solutions to problems, and oftentimes things just get worse. Here it is in Exodus chapter 17. One of the really cool things here is the beginning of the chapter, they're thirsty. The Israelites are like, man, Moses, what's up? You keep dragging us, you keep leading us in all these places, and we're hungry and thirsty, and God fed them. And then God said, take them over to this rock. Strike the rock and watch what happens. And so Moses goes and he strikes this rock, and water begins to flow out of this rock, and everyone's thirst is quenched. And so they're feeling refreshed, and then all of a sudden, boom, ambush. The Amalekites show up. Verse 8, let's take a look. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Amalekites were descendants of a guy named Enoch. There was a guy named Jacob and a guy named Enoch. two brothers. Enoch tried to trick his brother, and actually the other way around. But Enoch was bitter for the for not being chosen and not getting what he thought was due to him. And his descendants, the Amalekites, were very upset for all of this going down the way that they did, and they wanted to wipe the Israelites out. So they hear the Israelites are coming, and they think, you know, just when they think they're rested, we're gonna ambush them and attack them. And that's exactly what happens. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of the men to go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." How many of you are going through some kind of struggle or something tough right now? Two of you. Okay, four. How many? Honestly, there's something kind of hard going on in your life right now. There are going to be trials and struggles our whole life. And we need to understand that in the time, in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these struggles, God promises to be with us. Jesus never said that following him would be easy. He never said that the storms would disappear as soon as he showed up. But he promised to be with us in the midst of the storm. This attack begins to unfold. Where are they going to look to? A lot of times in the midst of trial or struggle, there are things in our life that kind of keep us keeping on. Some of us, it's our family. How many of you carry a wallet, have a picture of your family in your wallet? Okay, how many of you carry a phone? How many of you have a picture of your family on your phone? Yeah. A picture of our family can be that banner in our life. I'm gonna keep pressing on. This is tough, but I love my family. I want what's best for them, and we're going to do this even though it's hard. I'm doing it for my family. Some of us, we want financial success and freedom, financial freedom, and so we keep pressing on in life, trying to get through, you know, this, I hate my job, but retirement's only a couple years away. I'm going to keep pressing through, and that banner is retirement, financial freedom, you know, reaching that next point. Some of us, it's a sports team, and we're doing wild and crazy things for our sports team, painting faces, dressing up in weird costumes, wearing things like cheese on our heads, and all kinds of just weird things. There are different things in our life that will be a banner for us, that will keep us keeping on, that will keep us striving forward. And I remember, you know, growing up, the Star Spangled Banner. It was cool, you know, to... I kind of liked our flag. It was really different than most of the other country flags. I really liked it. I remember as a kid getting into the song at times at different sporting events and singing along with it. But it wasn't until 9/11 that symbol really hit me like never before. It was that scene that was on the news. A lot of us were glued to our TVs. We were watching as the towers crumbled, as the Pentagon was hit, as heroes, firefighters, and first responders were rushing in to do what they could to save those who could be saved and provide hope in the midst of this huge disaster. I remember ingrained in my mind was that scene when they saw these firefighters raising that flag at the site of the two towers. And it hit me like never before how beautiful that banner was and how much it meant. And people in our country were rallying like never before, people signing up to go to battle in the name of freedom, in the name of the United States of America, and how could we let this happen? And people rallied to that banner. And in war, many soldiers have seen that banner raised up, and despite the odds, despite the terror before them, that banner gave hope, and people pressed forward. What is it in your life that is your greatest fight right now? Your greatest struggle? Is it a marriage that's falling apart? Is it, man, I just need patience with my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. Is it a job that's just falling apart and you don't even know what is the next right decision? What is your greatest battle right now? I want you to take time, and I want you to answer that for yourself. I want you to write it down if you can. Identify it right now in your notes. Right now, my greatest battle is this. The Israelites were being led from one thing to the next. God would show up, as He always did, and rescue and take care of those who put their hope in Him. But there were consequences at times as well. God had a way, especially when Moses would pull out that stick. God would show up. Water. Water's parting. Manna from heaven. All kinds of craziness. And so, the Amalekites come in. Unexpected. Just like the storms in our life, often. Unexpected. Come at us from all sides. And Moses, this is his great plan. He says, you guys go fight. I'm going up on the hill. Where would you rather go? That's what happened. Verse 10, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. So I'm sure as he got up there, Moses might have been thinking, okay, God, you've shown up so many other times in the past. With the power of this stick, I call on you. And as the stick was raised, I'm sure he was like, okay, the enemy is going to fall. He raised it. God, I'm raising it. God, are you there? I'm raising your staff. And the fighting kept happening. The battle goes on all day. And I'm sure Moses was like, am I doing something wrong? God, have you left us? Is there some reason? And he begins to grow tired, but he continues to raise the stick. And instead, so many times, he's like, God, why aren't you showing up like you've shown up before? I hit that rock and water came instantly. I raised out my staff and the waters parted. And so many of us in that same way, we want that instant miracle, don't we? We want to be able to stand before God and say, God, please make it stop now. But it keeps going. God, I'm tired. I don't know why are you letting this happen? And it keeps going. Many of us in life, we want these microwave miracles. We want to be able to, you ever been there, students? Young students, old students? Didn't have much time to study, did you? But God, I'm going to say this quick microwave prayer. Dear God, help me pass this test. Beep, 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 beep. Hot, fresh miracle. Thank you. Or you're driving down the street, maybe just a little too fast. You notice that policeman. Dear God, beep, 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 beep. Don't let him see me. We want that instant miracle, don't we? Dear God, save my marriage. Dear God, save my children. Dear God, fill in the blank. What is it? Many times we want that instant miracle. And Moses is standing up and I'm sure he's wondering, why is this not working? I don't know this for sure. It's not here clearly in the text, but sometimes we as people, instead of looking to God, we'll look to a stick. Moses raised that stick. That stick had worked before. It worked over here. That stick worked over here. And many times God will give us tools that will help us accomplish His will. And many times we think, well, we've got the perfect plan. We've got the perfect system. We've got the perfect process. If we just work this process as best we can, if we just follow these plans the best we can, if you leave God out of it, it's doomed to fail. God doesn't want us looking to sticks and purposes and programs. He wants us to look to Him. Moses began to get tired. And the story says that as he raised the stick, as he was able to keep his hands raised to God. In Scripture, hands to God is a symbol of us coming before the throne in prayer. As he was able to keep his hands to God, the Amalekites would begin to be defeated. The Israelites are winning, but as he got tired and his hands came down, the Amalekites would begin to win. And sometimes it seems like we're getting tired and the battle's just getting more fierce. But I want you to know that God is still there. Aaron and Hur, they went up on the hill with him. What were they there for? Look at the verse. Verse 11, as long as Moses held his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they, being Aaron and Hur, they took a stone and they put it under him so he could sit on it and still maintain that posture. Aaron stood on one side and Hur on the other. And so with that, his hands remained steady till sunset. The battle went on all day long. We need one another. There are going to be times in our battles when we get tired, when we can't continue on our own, when we need to know that there is an Aaron and Hur. That's one of the reasons I want to encourage you to get involved in a church. Not where you can just sit in a row once a week, but where you can get to know one another, where you can be real and honest with one another about where your battles are, where you're getting tired, so that you can have an Aaron and an Hur on your side lifting you up when the tired seems to be overtaking you. God has given us one another so that together we can seek Him. They helped Him keep His hands up. How many of you need help holding your hands up to God right now? They were there to help Him continue to lift His hands. As long as Moses' hands were up, they were winning, but when they were down, they were losing. There was this banner, and the banner was not the stick. The banner is the Lord. At the end of the day, Moses came to realize this. At the beginning, Moses was putting his faith in the staff of the Lord and this stick, but at the end of the day, Moses knew that it was about the God of the stick. The Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to remember and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. So Moses built an altar there and he called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. No matter how tough the struggle, no matter how long the fight, what is it in your life that is keeping you pressing on? Is it your children? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your hope for financial freedom and retirement and success? Those are all good things. But if they are not Jehovah Nissi, they are just a stick. That staff of Moses, it's dust now. I mean, sure, if you were to somehow find it and prove it was Moses, you could probably make a lot from it on eBay. Thomas, you might find it in a storage locker someday. But it's really not worth anything. Our hope needs to come from the Lord. The Lord is there to be our banner. It's not just the material that makes up that flag that makes it special. It's what that flag stands for. It's the symbol of the country and the values and the men and women that have fought and died behind that flag that makes that flag so special. It's not that staff, that stick that Moses was holding. It was God behind the stick. And no matter how tough your fight, no matter how long your struggle, God wants you to know that He is there to be your banner. He is there to inspire you. He is there to equip you. He is there to empower you when you feel like giving up. He is there to keep you keeping on. The Lord is your banner. That blank on your paper, I want you to write that down. The Lord is, put your name in there. The Lord is Carmen's banner. The Lord is Jack's banner. The Lord is Lisa's banner. The Lord is my banner. He is there for me. He is there for you. When it seems like there's a mountain in front of you that you can't cross, a river too wide for you to get through, God promises to be there with you, over it, under it, through it, in it. There are times when the vision that God has given me and Brandy, that vision just seems too difficult. The Hope for Nova dream that many of us have been dreaming about and trying to learn about and see God unfold. It's not something that any one church is going to be able to accomplish. God never planned that. God planned for the body of Christ to be united as one, to bring His hope to people, to regions, to nations, to be a city on a hill, shining His light, pointing to Him, the banner of all of us, so that people would know where true hope comes from. And for Hope Hill Church, our vision is to have ministry centers and outposts throughout Northern Virginia. I'm not talking about several Hope Hill Church buildings, stained glass cathedrals on corners where people can get to come to our programs. I'm talking about us being sent out to live in homes called Hope Houses that serve as missionary points for us to reach out to our neighbors, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, to set prisoners free. This is the mission that God has called you to. This is the mission that God has called us to provide hope. A couple months ago, we were able to buy a house in a neighborhood where a lot of families are struggling to make ends meet, so that we could live there and care for them and love them as neighbors, not just as a church a couple miles away that are hoping they do well. It's somebody to go in there and to link arms with each other and to help them through the fight, to help them lift their hands up to the Lord, so in the midst of their tiredness and struggles, they can see that God is there to be lifted up to be prayed for. And many of you are making that possible. I'm excited about the programs and the things that God is going to lead us to do to help make a difference there. But that's just the first of many. We have a vision for Hope Houses in every trailer park and all the areas of poverty throughout Northern Virginia. There are several. And for you to raise up as people willing to live in those as the church, as missionaries, bringing hope to those who are hopeless. And there are others catching on to this vision. First Baptist Church, Image Church, both have said, we want to get behind you. We want our people involved in these projects. And this Hope for Nova is becoming something bigger than Hope Hill Church. It's becoming something that the kingdom of God is needed to accomplish. The state convention has sent up officials to check out. They've heard what's going on. They lent us money to buy the first house. And they're like, wow, this is big. How can we help you more? Some of you have heard about Featherstone Plaza, a shopping center. It's kind of also in a rough area. There's 45,000 square feet available there. And we're meeting with the development company. The development company said that if things are right, we'll get you in here. I'm trying to be careful not to say something that isn't correct, but I believe that God has that place for us. They were going to offer a part of that space to another church 2 years ago. They were going to give them a 20-year lease for $1. But they had to bring it to code. They had to renovate it. And when the cost of renovations reached $100,000, that church walked away. The state convention is saying, we'll provide the Baptist Builders Foundation to come in and build it free of charge if you can get it and provide all the materials. We've got stuff like that unfolding. When the army seems too big before us, when the task before us, the mountain seems too high, God says, I'm not going to call you to do something that I won't enable you to do. Just trust in me. Take that next step forward. Lift your hands to me in prayer, and I will take care of it. We believe that God has amazing things. We're sitting there a week or two ago talking about our next year's budget and trying to determine if we're 3,000 or 4,000 short. And I'm like, guys, we need millions. It isn't about 3,000 or 4,000. This vision of God is a multi-million dollar vision. We need some people lifting up their hands to Him. No matter how long the battle, no matter how big the obstacle, we need you to stand with us. I don't know if that all made sense. Let's pray. What is your greatest battle right now? God is there. He knows exactly what is going on. And He loves you. And He wants to be your banner, your source of strength, your source of never give upness. He is there with you in the midst of whatever is going on. And He wants you to raise your hands up and your eyes up to Him. No matter how long that struggle, no matter how hard the fight, He is there for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know God in this way, He wants you to know His name. He wants you to know that if you were the only person in this world, He still would have went through what He went through for you. When God became flesh, when He went to Calvary's Hill and was placed upon the cross, He did it with you on His mind. The Bible says that Jesus, God in flesh, who was no sin, became sin in our place. He took our sins upon Himself, not to condemn us, but to purchase for us forgiveness, to purchase for us entrance into the kingdom of heaven to all who would simply call on His name, put their hope and their heart and their trust in Him. This morning, some of you need to give up. Give up trying to fight the fight on your own and lift your hands to God and let Him fight for you. God, I pray right now for those in this room who need to call out to You that their hearts would be open, that You would come in and transform them. You would come in and give them strength and hope and the ability and the willingness to be able to continue pressing forward, doing what's right, even when what's right is hard. You would bring forgiveness and hope and healing to the broken lives that are in this room like only You can. Be our banner. Be our Jehovah Nissi, the source that inspires, equips, and enables us to do the impossible. I ask all these things in Your holy name, I pray. This morning, if you are here and you don't know God in this way, I would love to pray with you. Don't leave here today without Him. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to empower you, enable you, and encourage you through whatever it is you're going through. If you've never opened up your heart to Jesus, do it today. I would love to pray with you. Come on up and let me know. We also take this time to remember that this is only possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When He laid down His life for us and He allowed His body to be broken, we take a piece of bread at the end of our services as a reminder of His body broken for us. We dip it in this cup of juice as a reminder of the blood that He shed for us. And as we eat of it, we gratefully thank Him and remember what He did for us. And we use that as inspiration now to go and to live for Him. So if you are a child of God, if you've given your heart to Jesus, we invite you, as Jesus said, as often as you eat of this and drink of this, remember Me until I am with you again. So, what do you have to do this morning? What do you need to give up? What do you need to stop looking to so that you can put your eyes on Jesus? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, make that decision this morning. Pray with the loved one next to you. Pray with someone on the side. Come, let me know. And when you feel ready, let's remember why we're doing this for Jesus. Come forward to receive communion as you feel led. We also have communion in the back. Respond now as the Holy Spirit leads you.